Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Christina Bowler, Vice Chair of the BZA, and I will be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the other members of the BZA. At the tables across the room are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance. Pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, second, discussion among board members, and a vote. Members of the public may address the board and follow the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decision by the BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I'll now ask Ms. Scobie to call the roll.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Ebony James.
Here.
Daniel Odell.
Here.
Amy Sherrill.
Here.
Brad Salisbury.
Here.
All right. So the first item is the minutes from the September meeting. Does anyone want to make a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Minutes are approved. New business. File number 9A23VA. Is the applicant here to speak for this application? All right. You can come to the podium. Before you speak, does the staff have any additional comments?
No additional staff comments.
All right. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record and then explain your case.
Okay. I'm Josh Hahn. I'm with True Line Land Surveying. I represent the client. My address is 556 Keene Circle in Dandridge. We're coming here. We've split this lot, and my client's wanting to build a dwelling, and we need a variance on the setback on Hooker Street there, from I believe it's 12 down to the shown 2. If 2.07 up there at the northeast corner.
Will you explain your hardship, please?
I guess technically he's just looking to utilize the available land there. He's got the land to split the lot, which we've already done. He's just considering some sort of, you know, to provide maybe a low-income housing or student housing or something there.
Are there any questions from board members?
I just want to confirm, this is when we're talking about splitting the lots, we're returning them to their original previously platted size? Is that?
No, ma'am. They were one.
But I'm looking at the nature of the neighborhood, and I'm assuming at one point they were actually separate in the origin. And maybe we're combined, and this is sort of separating them back.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it looks to be an exceptionally narrow lot, and actually the width of the house proposed is smaller than the house next door. I don't have a lot of heartburn approving this variance. That's, I don't know how much house you'd have left to build if you followed it by the letter.
My apologies. I failed to ask if there were any opponents to this request. Are there any opponents? Okay. we can proceed with any questions, comments.
I agree with Amy's comments.
I'll make a motion that we approve 9A23VA as requested.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, the next item is 9C23VA. Someone here to speak? All right, great. Before you speak, are there any additional staff comments?
No additional staff comments.
Okay, great. Please state your name and address for the record.
TD LaRue, Gettysburg Way. All
right, great. Explain the nature of your request.
We're building a duplex and...
Testing. We're building a duplex and, you know, when trying to figure out the driveway, which was going to be around to the side, grading and other things were a problem. We decided to venture into a circular driveway. My lot is 74.2 mm-hmm. feet wide, and it needs to be 75 for a U-shaped driveway. Unfortunately, the surveyor just, when I cut this property up, didn't make it 75 feet. Had I known what I know now, I'd have just had him do that, because I do own about the next 250 feet next to this. So hypothetically, I guess I could spend about $3,000 to $5,000 and move the line, but that doesn't really seem feasible. And so really, just all in all, Robinson Road is kind of a busy road. So I just think all in all, it'd be best to have a circular driveway there. And I don't think there's going to be crowding, as mentioned, since I own the next two lots down in about 250 feet, if I remember correctly.
Okay, thank you. Are there any opponents to this request? Okay, hearing none, are there any questions from the board?
When was this resurveyed and replotted? And
probably about 3 years ago.
Okay.
I purchased a property in 2018 from my father's estate.
Gotcha.
And we've been kind of slowly moving along to develop.
And you own from Robinson Road down towards Belterra?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you own the other side as well, or just that direction?
Just that direction.
Okay.
There's a driveway between the two lots that I own. I own the driveway and the house behind it also. Like I said, we just kind of randomly picked this spot as to not cut down two rows of dogwood trees that line the driveway, but if needed, we could kill some more trees. Just kidding. I mean, that was the reason my dad planted those trees, and we didn't want to, it's not that close. We still could move it 8 points.
So if we vote against you, we're tree killers. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but
I think you did.
That was the intention of.
I want to be clear.
Where we picked those lines, dogwood trees, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a state tree. I'm not sure.
Wow. I was going to say that this is not, in my interpretation, a strict hardship, but I didn't see any issue with approving this because it's such a minimal variance request, and you know, it was an obvious mistake, and I don't see any real problem with it. But then you started calling us names, and I started to rethink my position.
Has anyone mentioned four driveways in the span of 100 feet on Robinson Road? That seems to be pretty tight.
I think it's because of the visibility. They did approve it in planning, and I think there's up to the top of the hill, there's adequate visibility on both sides. So
planning has seen it?
I'm sorry?
Planning has seen it?
Yes.
Engineering has seen it as well. Engineering doesn't have issue with it as far as safety is concerned.
Okay.
It was approved through special use with the condition that there be turnaround space for the vehicles so that no one's backing into Robinson.
Which furthers the need for the circular.
Yeah.
I'm I'm willing to put forward a motion here to approve 9C23VA as requested.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Sorry, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, your motion carries.
Thank you.
It's been approved. All right, 10A23BA. Is someone here to speak on behalf of that? All right, great. Are there any additional staff comments?
No, but I think this one warrants a little bit of commentary. It's this, they're not asking for a variance. They're actually asking to increase a non-conforming use. Back in Recode, it became a non-conforming use. They want to relocate to a different building on the same property. So they're required to show compliance with 17.1A1, which I believe there's 9 items in the list where they need to show compliance for approval, as opposed to a variance.
So by granting the request today, they would be alleviated of having to do those 9 things, or they still have to do the 9?
No, they would have to prove to you that they are complying with those 9 items.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Please state your name and address for the record and explain your case.
Sure. My name is Davis Overton. I live at 5804 Glen Cove Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. The case here is we had a dental office in the IG zoning, and then the gentleman spoke to the fact that with Recode, all of a sudden, dental offices were not permitted within IG zoning. However, this has always been a professional office park. This tenant, this dental practice, has been on Bob Drive for 33 years. He simply wants to move within the same, on the same parcel. And that is the reason for the non-conforming variance request.
Is there any opposition to this request? All right. Are there any questions from the board?
Just so we ask the question, what you have submitted here complies with the 9 items as required?
Yes, ma'am.
For me, again, this is a reasonable request. I don't see any reason, as long as they're within compliance of those items, that this couldn't be granted. Unless there's other questions, I'll go ahead and make a motion.
Let me ask just real quick again, Mr. Overton, what's the hardship again here? It's just that it was pre-existing?
It's just the fact that it was pre-existing, and then when Recode happened, all of a sudden, medical and dental were eliminated out of that zoning. So that was the hardship.
Yeah.
I was just going to remind you, this does not need a hardship. They're not seeking a variance. They're increasing a nonconformity. So they, if they comply with those 9 things, it should be pretty straightforward.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Do we need to go through and evaluate it according to each of these? Is that okay?
Jen is going to pull up a letter that was submitted and included in the packet, which addresses each of the factors as well.
Yeah. In reading through those, it appears that each statement is, for the majority of them, is saying that it's existing and nothing will be changing, which appears to satisfy the requirement.
I haven't driven by there though and like evaluated every one of these things for myself, but yet I'm being asked to say they do meet it.
He's here.
What was the reason for switching buildings?
The owner has a different use. The landlords in this case has a different use for the building they are currently in, has asked them to vacate the current building and move to another building with on the same parcel.
Okay. So is there any expansion of the, I guess, the activity of the practice anticipated as a result of moving, like any additional patients or anything like that?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Because I would think if any of that was changing, then that would, that could affect parking or all kinds of things.
It's not. In fact, it's reducing by maybe 100 or 200 square feet. Okay. It's basically the same size.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve as soon as I get my item number pulled up. 10A23VA as it's submitted.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Your variance is approved.
Thank you, ma'am.
Or. All right, the next item is 10B23VA. Is someone here to speak? All right. Before you speak, are there any additional staff comments?
Yes, ma'am. This is one where they are seeking a variance, which does require a hardship. And they're essentially placing a new property line to split it. Their job is to articulate why there is a hardship as to why they have to place that line where they are proposing.
Okay. All right. Name and address for the record and explain your hardship.
Adam Conetop, Cannon & Cannon, 8550 Kingston Pike. We are representing Russell Company, the owner of the property. The owners are wishing to split the lots and sell off the buildings, or one of the buildings, and these buildings predate before 1985, before the interstate was improved, before Gallagher View was improved, and before Kingston Pike is the width that it is. The property when these buildings were constructed was much larger. Currently, the southern building, planned south, is a VA medical facility that is looking at expansion plans. And due to the taper nature of the building, the utilities to the west and to the south, expansion to the south is difficult, leaving expansion to the north as the most viable option. The northern building is actually built into the earth right there. And so their chances for expansion would be very limited. And so we are looking to place the property line along the south face of the northern building to optimize the VA's ability to expand to the north. We will place a fire separation easement to ensure all access requirements by the IBC are met.
All right, thank you. Are there any opponents to this request? All right, any questions from the board?
Adam, can you restate what the hardship is here?
Their expansion to the south, to the east, and to the west is encumbered by existing infrastructure. So the only way to expand the use of the VA facility would be to go north.
Okay.
What is the infrastructure that's in there? What is that easement for right there?
There are multiple easements, Colonial Pipeline, KUB easements, access easements. That access easement to the west serves also the property west of these two buildings. And then, of course, Gallagher View has about, if you look, we don't have, it's not probably not available, but the 1985, they had about 30 more feet to the east they could have expanded. But that has been taken by TDOT.
Yep.
But the variance is needed because of the adding a new property line?
Yes, yes. They're wanting to sell off the building to the north, and they need to separate, subdivide.
Between the two properties?
Between the two properties, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Had they have left the 20 feet and drawn that property line, then it would be compliant. But because the property line is going to make it non-compliant,
yes, yes.
Then they're having to ask for the variance, is what I'm understanding. The how do you access and use the building on the north? I mean, I don't understand.
Its primary access is from the north. If you've ever driven off that interstate, it's currently a warehouse facility that Allen Signs use, and it's built into the earth, and 80% to 90% of their access is off the south, off the north, sorry.
Off the north, how, Adam? There's no access. Bridgedale Drive is right by.
The access easement allows them to wrap around the site.
Right. So that the easement there is access for.
Yes. It currently is allowing the property to the west to access Kingston Pike, but it'll also serve as access for the northern lot to access Kingston Pike. Gotcha. Access to Bridgedale is severely limited by TDOT.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. You have a hill there and.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no driveway.
The original site was actually accessed off Gallagher View, or what Gallagher View was called at the time.
Adam, do you know why they're putting the property line where they are? I'm imagining it's because it has to do with parking, is be my guess. And maybe topography? I don't know.
Topography, expanding to the north, it's very difficult to do a tapered building, so they want to expand to the south while leaving room to circulate and the ability to provide the access to the southern building and, as you said, the parking. Yeah.
Who wants to expand to the south? The buyer of the northern building is wanting to build and expand to the
south? The tenant of the southern building wants to expand to the north.
To the north?
Yes.
Okay.
Their options for development are limited.
Yeah.
So they're trying to maximize that. I'm struggling because this is asking a whole lot of this poor little lot to cram more building between those two things. But that's not my
also battle. I feel like it would be helpful to know what the plans are for expanding as to what, I guess, to know if that's really the minimum ask, you know, if that property line, sorry, could be moved south at all.
So I think what you're asking is, without dividing the property in two, how much more building could be built on this lot, right?
Well, there's that. And then can that property line, if they are going to subdivide it, can it be any lower, any more southern to decrease the amount of the variance and still allow the expansion or allow some reasonable expansion?
Do we know the lot coverage? No.
Does CH1 have a percent coverage?
That's also, is if this is subdivided, that will be considered the front. The front property line, and then the Bridgedale one, the back, the rear, or
were those questions?
Sorry, yeah, maybe I'm kind of thinking out loud, but is that? I mean, it's the variance request is pertaining to the front setback, but it just seems like a weird line to pick as the front.
It's based off of the address.
Kingston Pike.
And to answer the question about lot coverage, there are no maximums in CH1.
Which is why there's a request for the fire easement.
I'll ask to keep the building code stuff out of this. This is a zoning request.
I guess so when I look at this, there are two options. One is you do as they're requesting and you put that property line basically on your back of your building, or you set it off the 20 feet and you come back and you ask for a zero lot line variance when you go to build it. And I don't know which one I would prefer. because this one, I think the struggle I have here is that we're not being shown why this just because we want to maximize all future opportunities. And I understand that, but I don't know that that's in our list of considerations.
So if we were looking to double the size of the footprint of the building, we would not be able to go south. We would not be able to go east. We would not be able to go west. But it's a very expensive endeavor, as everyone up there knows, to go through that design effort to show that, just to find out what you can do. So we're at that point now, trying to figure out what is allowable for the expansion of the facility.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying, though, is that you could move that lot line 20 feet off and be in compliance, and you could come back and ask for a variance of the setback once you do know mm-hmm. what you're building. Because as Christina said, how do we know that this is the minimum necessary? Because actually what's being requested is the maximum allowable, which is a different side of the equation, but maybe not necessarily the same answer.
The property will need to be used by the south. We talked about, the southern building is mainly access. The northern building is mainly access from the north. That's where all the garage doors are. That's where all the loading happens. This building will need to have vehicular access and circulation along the north side of it. So it's in addition to the separation between the building and the property line, they need to have the vehicle space.
Adam, I'm not sure how I understand what you just said applies to the hardship, though. Like, can you say that again?
So I believe what Amy was asking is, why not just leave the property line 20 feet off this side of this building and then request a variance when you expand the southern building to the north to reduce that setback? My point is, the separation is not needed necessarily for the building space to go forward, but the building space and additional vehicular circulation. So if the property line was set back 20 feet to the south, then when the building moves to the north, there won't be adequate access for vehicles to enter in that space and maneuver. And we can't expand to the south of the building because the tapered nature of the utilities and existing infrastructure.
I think for me, I would want to see a site plan of the proposed addition, or even if it was super generic, to feel comfortable with why one way or the other, because it's all completely hypothetical in terms of.
And we're granting an exception on one property to allow for development on the other, which is, it just doesn't seem like an odd request.
It is, yeah. Typically, we get a site plan for what's going to be done and explanation of how that relationship works. And right now, we're being asked for the maximum. And I think there's lots of reasons on this property to look at potential variances, but without a plan that shows exactly what where they're wanting to go with the expansion, we're just granting the maximum, which is not what we're charged with as a board. We're supposed to give the minimum. Yeah. So I think I agree.
So we could come back in with spend time and effort just to expand the building to the north, figure out get the architect to design the building, and then to just be told possibly no.
Yeah, that's what people usually do. You show up with a site plan about what you're going to do, and you have an explanation of the variances that you need. The plan gives us the depiction of the variances and why they are needed. And then it gives us the base for the minimum as well. If you came and showed a building going to the maximum, there would be questions, the same questions I think that are asked today about some of that, I would guess.
I mean, speaking for myself, I'm going to still struggle with the fact that we're granting a variance on one property in order to allow for development of the other. It's, you know, normally you're asking for a variance on your own parcel to accommodate what you're trying to do reasonably within your property.
Well, and is that true that I think the variance request is because they want to subdivide?
But the variance they request is because is for the north parcel because it now becomes non-compliant.
But isn't that only because of the subdivision?
Yes, but you could move the line and make it in compliance and never have to be here and then come back about reasonable development of the parcel in the south.
And if it's about vehicular access, you could have maybe make the whole 20 feet setback an easement as, I don't know if that would meet the requirements, but it's an idea.
Can director, are we allowed to reduce the severity of the variance during the meeting?
Yes, because the variance as it was posted in the paper was this would be a lesser variance if that answers your question.
I'd ask the board to consider a setback of 10 feet given the historical nature of the building being accessed actually from the east and 90% of its access entries are on the north face. So viewing this as the front building is maybe, even though its address on Kingston Pike, is not reflective of the architectural nature of the building.
What is the rear setback requirement? Sorry, you don't know.
CH1 has a 10-foot setback in the rear.
Could they request, no, to change the address? No?
No.
Can't actually get to it from any other room, so.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah, I'd be interested in, I mean, there's options here. One, it continues on in a motion and a vote. And the other is it's postponed or withdrawn. I don't know that there's a change in the number that's going to change my opinion today.
I think there needs to be a particular reason for a particular number. So, to me, 10 is certainly it's a lesser ask, and given the other reasons like that, the kind of perceived front is the opposite side, and that is the, if it were to be considered rear, that would be the rear setback. But because the reason for the ask is the expansion of the other building, I guess it just still doesn't seem clear that you definitely need that additional 10 feet. So even if it was, fairly generic in nature, I guess it would be really helpful to have a site plan.
Does the historical nature of the facility when it was constructed, the front actually was the east until TDOT eliminated the front and forced them to make the south the front?
To me, that doesn't change why you would need a different shape of the parcel. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that that actually goes along with the request. I guess to me, in asking for any variance on this particular thing right now is to maximize the future footprint. And I don't, again, that doesn't put us in a position of being able to actually consider, is that the maximum really necessary? Because right now we don't have anything to show us what is necessary. So
I think the other thing though that I'm hearing, and I'm not going to speak for you all, but it's that this variance is uncomfortable because of the condition that's being created for the other property. And the site plan will help clarify that. But if the site plan came back and still was at the maximum ask, I'm thinking that from my perspective, I'm still going to have some of the same hardship in my mind of saying yes to that, because you're creating it. We're uncomfortable with the relationship there with where that property line is, circulation, and how those buildings end up relating to one another for the future of that both of those properties, for how they work together in the future. So For me, I don't think reducing anything right now changes anything. I'd like to see a site plan, and I'd like to see a site plan that is the minimum adjustment necessary to get a variant, to ask for the variance request. And once I had that in front of me, then I can look at that and say yes or no.
I would ask you to remember that 90% of the building's access, and 90% of the building can only be accessed from the north.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. It's not from the north, though. It's from the south. You have an easement, and then there are accesses in the back, essentially, from Kingston Pike, right?
It is accessed from Kingston Pike because of the land that was taken from them.
Yeah, I get that, Adam, but that's not what exists now. And topography there would prevent I can't tell you how many times I've driven by this property my whole life. I know how a thing is accessed. So it's you're going up around that easement and back around the back of the property to get to it, right? Okay. I'm uncomfortable with the relationship between the two, and there's not a technicality here that's going to allow me to say yes to this without a plan, personally.
Same. Would you like for us to vote on it, or I can request a motion, or we can make a motion to postpone if that's your preference?
I request that you vote.
Okay.
I'm going to make whatever.
Motion.
Motion.
Oh, yeah,
to deny 10B23VA as it's stated.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. The motion passes. The variance is denied. And you can appeal to council within 15 days. All right. Moving on to 10C23BA. Is someone here to speak? Okay. Are there any staff comments?
Yes. And that's because throughout the agenda, we've got various types of requests. This is yet another variance request where the applicant needs to present a hardship as to why he is requesting the proposed reduction in setback.
Okay, great.
I'm Ben Johnson, 724 Taylor Road, which is the site that y'all have. We don't claim to be senior citizens, but both of us are. And by adding another bay to our garage, we probably improve the access to the house and to our vehicles. One of the biggest issue I think we have is topography. And in the application, we indicated that we had purchased the house in 74. Shortly after that, this piece of property is actually behind South Doyle Middle School. Shortly after we purchased the property and the residence was built, the city did a renovation of Taylor Road that actually moved it 1 foot closer to us. And it was 1 foot closer and 2 feet down in elevation, which, if we looked at the driveway right now, it's approximately 16%, which is the same slope as what is behind the wall there, the street coming up from Nayland Drive. So our hardship is topography, because we had some people down the street that actually built a garage at the rear of their residence, which was a similar. But the topography of that site is not quite as bad as it is on ours.
Thank you. Is there anyone to speak in opposition? All right.
We have talked with our neighbors, and there's no opposition from them.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions from the board?
Just a little bit of clarity. This is looking at the picture of the existing home. You have a... Oh, sorry. Second picture shows the draw over.
Yeah, that's a picture. I submitted some sketches. I don't know if those got in the stuff. Some real crude.
No, but it answered the question I was going to ask you. So it served its purpose.
Yeah.
I will say I am concerned about the being only 1 foot from the adjacent lot, knowing there's some excavation that's going to need to take place as part of this to get that garage in there.
The residence to the west, I measured it from where we're proposing the addition, and it's approximately 19 feet to the edge of that residence. And I think lot three, which is the one we have, is probably the steepest of the bunch. If you look at the overlay, hillside overlay zone, it starts going away as you go to the east.
I apologize if you already said this, but what was the reason for needing more garage space than what is already there?
We're using it for accessibility. The wife and I, right now, we have to access her car on that slope driveway. And by building the garage, we'd end up having it level with the garage floor of that existing garage, which is also on that end of the residence.
Alternatively, you would build retaining walls and flatten the driveway. Is that the?
No, actually, we're going to the walls of the addition would be retaining walls.
Right. I just mean if it were to simply be within the land and not be a building with a roof on it, it wouldn't require.
It's approximately.
Mm-hmm.
We have that.
Yeah, they put it in.
We have that in our packet. Yes, thank you.
You asked them what's the alternative.
So in the variance, we're looking for what's necessary. They have a garage. The issue is accessibility. So the alternative to actually having an enclosed garage would be able to level the driveway and have a retaining wall around it, which would be allowed in that setback without having a variance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the fact that what we're really having to consider here is that it's enclosed. And I could see that if we're talking about an accessibility issue, that you having at least cover protection from the elements, I think, yeah, I get it. I just, again, I'm concerned about the excavation that close to a neighbor's property.
Well, it's close to the property line. It's not close to the foundation, though.
No, we'd have to design the foundations for that type of building probably flush with the exterior walls, so that I don't encroach on a variance if we get it.
And I know they're not here in opposition, but have you spoken with them and they're generally supportive of what you're?
Yeah. Matter of fact, the fellow that's to the west, he's almost a recluse, and I got him to come to the door, and I asked him if he had any opposition to this, and he said no. Our neighbor to the east, he has a leg. Fortunately, his residence is a lot flatter as far as the driveway is concerned, and he has a leg affliction that is starting to cause him some excess problems. We had a long discussion the other night.
Do you currently use the existing garage for parking?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Would this new garage be for a single car?
Yes. It's basically a 12 by 24 addition to the house. The house itself is 24 feet deep. And this addition is the standard bay for a garage is 12 feet.
I'm going to make a motion to approve 10C23VA on the basis that the topography generally creates a condition that's hard for them to utilize the property the way that they need to.
I second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 None opposed. The variance is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, 10D23BA, is anyone here to speak on behalf? Are there any additional staff comments?
Seeking another variance.
Okay.
Needing to prove a hardship.
All right, great. Please state your name and address for the record and explain your hardship.
Sure, good evening. Jay Silverman with Dwell Design Studio. My address is 1280 Hightower Trail, Atlanta 30328. And we're I'm the applicant and architect for the project for my clients Core Spaces and Schenck Realty. We're developing a mixed-use building on the site. Consists of about 91 dwelling units and 6,700 square foot of retail on 7 levels. The building is we're seeking a reduction in the 75% transparency required on Mount Castle. The building is located on the corner of Mount Castle and Cumberland. That's the southeast corner. And due to the topography on Mount Castle, we're seeking a reduction in the glazing as calculated in accordance with CU2 on Mount Castle. So Mount Castle drops about 11 feet over 120 feet. So the building steps down from Cumberland Avenue down to the alley elevation. And we've got active uses both on the Cumberland Avenue level and the alley level. That consists of leasing office, lobby and amenity space, as well as residential units, some active bike amenity and an entrance from the parking to serve as access to the retail on Cumberland. But due to the way the zoning requires the transparency zone to be measured, which is between 2 feet above the sidewalk elevation and 10 feet above the sidewalk elevation, due to the step down, we're not quite able to achieve the requirements without creating an undesirable basement light well condition that we felt like created a safety concern in that urban area. So what we're proposing is it's in green on the drawing that's shown, a planter that's between 2 foot and a little under 6 foot tall in front of the residential dwelling units. Then there'll be a step down to the lower level glazing. You can see we've got a significant amount of glazing on that facade of the building, but we're due to the technical considerations of the step down, we're asking for the reduction. It's from the 75% required, we're about 67%, about 67 square foot of reduction from the requirement. And you can see we're only allowed to calculate what's in red on that diagram. So there's more glazing immediately outside of the area.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? All right, hearing none. Does anyone have any questions?
I want to say, I really appreciate the way you illustrated this, because I think it actually does a good job of showing how you've really attempted to meet the intent there, and how, understanding that, yes, you could put ceiling high glass if that were practical. So I just applaud you. I just appreciate the visual of being able to see it in this fashion. I know I'm waning on my interest in variances on Cumberland Avenue, and this one I feel like I can support. I think it meets the intent of what's being asked in the design.
We have given other variances that are very similar on Cumberland for the exact same reason. The Walgreens across the street comes to mind. It received a variance that was similar to this one. And this one's more simple than that.
Much.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve 10D23VA as requested.
I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor,
say
aye.
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 Aye. None opposed? The variance passes. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks.
All right. 10E23VA. Is anyone here to speak for that application?
I can pay.
All right, great. Are there any staff comments?
Yes, ma'am. We're going back to expanding a non-conforming use.
Okay.
So he is not here to articulate a hardship, but to show compliance with the 9 items identified in section 17.1A1 of the zoning code.
All right, great. You can state your name and address for the record and explain your case.
Taylor Forrester, 1111 North North Shore Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. Here on behalf of the property owner, I'm going to give a little history of this property. I kind of dug into and found interesting that I think naturally led us to where we are. So in 2010, the property was rezoned to C4 with certain limiting conditions on there. One being that the uses permitted would have to be those that are in the C3 zone, which was a lesser zone, so you couldn't have the C4 zoning uses. And then there was one other condition, plus a self-storage facility as a use permitted on review. This appears to be a rezoning that was a result of an annexation into the city from the county. Since 2010, it would seem that this property has been contemplated or even expected to be developed for self-service storage facility. The property owner had always planned on doing a multi-phase self-storage facility on the property. Started the initial one through the approval process in 2018, and I think towards the end of 2018 that was approved for the initial phase. Again, it always intended on doing multiple phases. Mostly the first phase consists of indoor climate control units, and kind of he's already maxed out that demand. I think the goal is to have a 60-40 exterior type units, 60%, 40% interior type access units. So what's been developed is probably 80% indoor climate control. There is a covered storage for RVs and boats. Pursuant to Tennessee Code Annotated Section 13-7-208, subsection C provides industrial, commercial, or business establishments in operation and permitted to operate under zoning regulations or exceptions thereto in effect immediately preceding a change in zoning shall be allowed to expand operations and construct additional facilities which involve an actual continuance and expansion of the activities of the industry or business which were permitted and being conducted prior to the zoning change. So that's what we have here. Tennessee appellate courts, Supreme Courts have analyzed this, and to invoke these protections of this statute, the property owner has two threshold showings to make. One, there has been a change in the zoning, either adoption of a zoning where none existed previously or alteration, and two, the use to which they put their land was permitted prior to the zoning change. We're asking for approval of this pre-existing non-conforming use under Article 17.1. Similar to the previous one, we have submitted information and material in response to those 9 conditions. Set forth how those will be met, or that it's understood that we do have to meet those and we'll comply with those. So the thing about this one, it's still how we ended up here was it got filed with Planning Commission for the review and during the review for the special use approval. Then it was discovered okay, these were going to consist of some outdoor access units, and that was no longer allowed as a result of the zoning change. They recommended that we come before the BZA and ask for an expanded use. So anything approved here, we still have to go through the special use review process at Planning Commission. We've submitted all the plans to the planning staff. Those are the similar plans that we've submitted here. Concept plan, drainage, grading, landscape, parking, all those plans are included.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Let me ask if there are any opponents. Is anyone here to speak in opposition? Okay. Seeing none. Any questions from the board?
I don't have any questions. I appreciate the letter, though. It helps me get comfortable.
Sure.
Their letter basically just says that they will do it. They understand what's required and they'll do it. And I think on this type of, my understanding is that that's good. It's good enough. Go ahead. Sorry.
I agree. I'm ready to make a motion unless there's other questions. I'll move to approve 10E23VA as requested.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. Hearing none, the motion passes and your request is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to 10G23BA. Is anyone here to speak on behalf? All right. Great. While you're coming up, are there any additional staff comments?
No, ma'am, but I'm sure you're going to ask engineering's opinion, and they are not concerned about the site distance as it relates to the proximity to the corner. So they have no issue with it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Name and address for the record and explain your hardship.
Joe Mawinney, P.O. Box 328, Norris, Tennessee, 37828. The hardship, this building and the existing parking lot sits entirely on the lot itself. I'm not sure when it was built, but it's within like 4 to 6 inches all the way around at all four sides. So the existing parking is all that's available.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? All right. Questions from the board?
Aren't you all going to renovate the existing building and move into it? Is that the?
Yeah. I do dental equipment repair.
Okay.
So I do most of that work at the dental offices.
Sure.
But I do repair some small equipment, and it'll be done at that building.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. This building's been sitting there this way for a while, so it's kind of fun to see someone.
Yeah.
Do something with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do your grants. I'm just curious. Have you done any environmental on it yet?
Yeah, I've actually been working with TDEC. It did have some environmental concerns.
Okay.
I might get the name wrong, but it's in the Brownfield program, and I'm going to become the successor on that and go through that process with the state.
Cool.
Yeah, try to get this place cleaned up and functional again.
I'll make a motion to approve 10G23VA as it's submitted and based on the hardships he's described here.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, motion passes and your request is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
All right, 10H23VA. Someone here to speak on behalf of that application? All right, while he's coming up, are there any additional staff comments?
There are no comments for the appeal, which is part one. The applicant is appealing one of my determinations, and he can articulate that. I'll be happy to answer any questions, and we'll have staff comments when we get to part two, which is a variance request.
So we need to separate these and vote separate? Okay.
Yes.
So should we treat them as if they're separate agenda items?
That would be ideal.
Okay. All right, then. You can state your name and address for the record and explain just the first request.
So pressure button on the right.
John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive. The first request is Article 17.1.82. So I know we've talked to several times tonight about 17.1. So this is an existing structure. The idea is to, instead of tearing it down, to rebuild the structure and rehab it and extending along the existing building lines. So item two refers to non-conforming structures and buildings where a building or structure is conforming as to use. It may be extended along existing building lines. Similar to section 17.1, which has nine requirements that have to be met, 17.2 has three requirements that have to be met. The addition can't extend to the other side yards. The existing building together cannot exceed the lot coverage. And then all parking requirements for the existing building and the addition must be met. And all three of those will be met for the development of that.
All right. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition?
Can I ask you? So we're appealing a decision, but I don't really understand what the interpretation and decision was that's being appealed.
The interpretation is you can't take a structure that was designed and built for this use and expand along existing lines to create a totally separate use. I'll use an exaggeration for you. If I've got a 10 by 10 storage shed in the backyard, I can't build along those 5-foot setbacks and create a multifamily structure, even if the zone allows for it. It's a totally different development. You don't get the benefit of the intent behind 17.1A2 is if you've got a house, you can expand along it as long as it's a house, but you can't transform that house into a different development.
Okay.
And that's consistent with what I've done over the past almost 10 years.
Okay. So
it's my understanding that he wanted to take advantage of the non-conforming setbacks for an existing house and create a townhouse development out of it.
So it would be going from a single family to a multi family.
Well, it's my understanding that he wanted to create townhouses.
Using the existing structure.
Using a portion of the existing structure.
Okay. Okay.
So if I can respond to that. Yes. So there are a couple things in the code that do kind of clarify that. The first is under section 2.1 is the rules of interpretation. And section F says, whenever a defined word or term appears in the text of this code, its meaning must be construed as set forth in the definition. And as part of that, under the definitions is the word building. And under building, it says any structure used or intended for supporting or sheltering any use or occupancy. It specifically says any use. And that is the word that is used in the ordinance. Furthermore, this same application has been done very consistently. I personally have done at least two projects in the last 6 months that were extended upon existing building lines with differing uses, whether they're single family, duplex, triplex, independent living. And I did attach a list of at least 11 or 12 different projects in the same neighborhood that have been approved in the last 2 years that extended along the same building lines. So it is very common.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions from the board?
I'm going to ask a procedural question, which is I'm not really sure in what form we're saying yes, no to, like, what is the question that we need to vote on?
He's asking to appeal my determination so you can make a motion to approve that overturning. I believe.
And then
or you can deny the request to overturn.
So in overturning, we would be accepting the interpretation the applicant is putting forward.
That the applicant is, yes.
Okay. Sorry, and this is a tangled one.
I've got a question. Between the survey and the site plan, there is absolutely no similarities between those two.
So the site plan will be for item 2.
Okay. So, all right. So the building gets completely raised, except for maybe a foundation, and starts over.
That would be for item 2 only. So in circumstance 1, the existing building will be retained, and I'll rehab the existing structure.
How can there be two different scenarios? What is the plan?
The idea, well, it's to kind of keep the options open. Ideally, I would like to build new because it is extremely expensive and complicated to bring an old 100-year-old structure up to modern building codes. We've done it before. It's very challenging, but it's doable. So that's option 1. And then wanted to still entertain option 2 at a decreased ask from the previous.
So if I understand, number 1 is appealing decision of a single family home versus multiple townhomes, which are attached.
Correct. It'd still be limited by the lot area and everything, all the other requirements, plus item A, B, C that's required in the ordinance.
Okay.
So we don't have any documentation related to how you would develop it if the first ask is approved. Correct.
Correct. I wasn't aware.
Okay. No,
it's kind of interesting. Everybody else had 17 ones today too. I could have put together a letter, but
yeah. Well, it's probably not the sort of thing because it's not necessary. I just was asking for confirmation. But the reason I feel like it's not necessary is that it would apply to all future interpretations. So it's kind of a broader ask.
So I'm gonna make you go back because I'm gonna pretend I don't know anything about what you're presenting. I mean, we've seen this thing 3 times now, yeah. So we all know. What is your interpretation? Where is the point that you're deviating from what you've been told the interpretation is?
That if the existing house is a duplex or a single family, it would have to remain that if you extend along the existing building lines. Historically, we've always been able to extend along building lines regardless of the change in use because it meets A, as long as you meet A, B, and C. If it was a non-conforming use and say it was a dentist office like the other one, you would have to go to section A and you'd have to meet those 9 requirements. When it's a conforming use, you'd only have to meet the 3. And I think the code's very clear what it says. And when you go to the definitions, it says any use is allowed.
So I will, as an architect, I will tell you, the minute it's a change of use, the rules reset on every project that I come in to play. I mean, it's something that we know and we accept. And I understand that you may have experienced things different. So it, to me, is not a surprise that it would be held to a consistency of use. I would be interested to hear what the rest of the board kind of reads and feels in this.
That's kind of what I was thinking, that, I mean, I think typically when it goes, if it went from single family to duplex or duplex to triplex or even avoiding the IBC but staying in the IRC, it's always considered a change of use in that case when it goes increases in density.
Yeah, and there's different dimensional standards in Article 4.3 based on the type of development that it is. And so when you're 17.1A2, which is what's under question, That's intended for, it's, there's a use that's there. And as you expand, it doesn't change the dimensional standards. The dimensional standards are what they are. If you're going to change the use such that the dimensional standards change as well, it's inappropriate to apply shed standards for townhouses.
No, and that's my understanding too, is that when we encounter that in the commercial world, there are differences because of the nature of what it is. So you know, I have a hard time. I hear what you're saying, but I have a hard time agreeing.
And I think the other piece of that too is the state law. And so as the previous applicant had mentioned, TCA's 13-7208 allows for the expansion of commercial facilities. So it does cover change of uses and expansions and growth, even including residential and multifamily applications. So it's built into the state law to allow that as well.
I don't like that in terms of the role we play in protecting our community and what development looks like. If we just simply go around and expand every building along every single anomaly, I think that sets up for a really bad mess.
And I will say too, just to address the point on state law, Mr. Holmes is correct in part. You know, the commercial and businesses are able to be rebuilt in certain cases, but they're almost always couched in terms of either no change in use occurring or there being some kind of an act of God. So fire, flood, things like that.
Yeah. I think for me, this kind of, I mean, I could see how you might make like a technical legal case, but I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But I can see your argument, I guess is what I'm saying, but I don't feel like it's within the intent of how this is written and with how it's typically interpreted. So I guess I'm not the person to be the judge of whether it's like technically, you know, we should change the way that we interpret this.
Yeah, I think this is kind of, I mean, I am an attorney and I definitely can see where you're coming from in terms of the interpretation. Like the thing with the laws, like it's always a two-sided coin, right? On how we interpret things and what we believe it to be. Was there any legal feedback in terms of what is meant by any? And did y'all have that discussion at all? Or you're saying it wouldn't even be applicable? Like it shouldn't even be read into this definition.
I have the full support of our attorneys.
And the word any doesn't appear in what we're interpreting today. It appears in another thing. So then it would really, if he wants to argue that, he has full rights to do that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I just want to make sure the legal aspect. So that probably was covered. Everybody's on board with that. There's been a determination as to what that means and how it's applicable. And he understands that. Okay.
All right. Does anyone else have any other questions on this? Mm-mm. Okay. I'll make a motion that we deny item one of 10H23VA.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. So that motion carries and item one was denied. So moving on to 10H23BA item two. Let's go ahead and ask for staff comments on that.
Thank you. We're going away from an interpretation and we're seeking a variance now where a hardship is required to be provided. Staff doesn't feel that topography forces somebody to build more townhouses as a hardship. And I will tell you that as we've seen this multiple times, City Council has seen it multiple times, most recently last month. City Council was on the record by saying we can't rezone through variances, and they upheld your determination last month. And so the applicant has every right to try and present a hardship to you, and here we go.
Thank you. All right. Ron Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive. So this would be, again, a reconstruction of the property there. The hardship absolutely is topography. I mean, it's a small lot. It's a non-conforming lot of record. It's only 50 feet wide. It's not possible to get any other space. There's really no other way to accommodate that. There are countless variances in Fort Sanders, well over 20 that have received, have given variances for hardships for topography that are far less than what this is, 7 to 8 feet. Again, every property on that block would still have to have similar setback variances, but I'm not even asking for that. I'm asking to make the project narrower and smaller. And I think this is the absolute, absolute minimum it could possibly be. There are no side setback variances, but similar, just only a lot width variance from 60 foot to 50 feet. That would allow for three smaller townhomes versus a larger number of bedrooms per smaller units.
that last part again.
So having smaller townhomes, they would have four bedrooms per unit since they're townhomes. That's the limit.
All right. I think just procedurally, I'm going to ask again if there's anyone here to speak in opposition. Okay. Seeing none, we can move to questions and discussion. I think the point there is that with the single family, you could have, I mean, is there a limit on the number of bedrooms? I know there's, it would transition to an institutional per IBC, but okay.
Yes. And that transition to IBC coincides with going from a house to an independent living facility.
Okay. Which would not be permitted. Is that, or what I'm trying to understand is, the kind of a comparison of density maybe between what is allowable by right and this request.
So what's allowable has to fit on the lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you can have a lot that allows multifamily, but if the lot isn't big enough to support it because it doesn't have enough room, then you can't do it. You're kind of stuck by the size of the lot. Whereas,
so what I'm asking is that a single family is allowable.
Yes, ma'am.
And what's the max bedrooms that he can have?
Four.
Okay.
A two family is permitted and would not need variances.
Okay.
So this variance is needed because we're attempting a townhome three unit instead of going with a duplex. Yeah. This is one that I don't think my stance on it has changed at all. I think it's, you know, it goes back to, yes, it's an RN5. And if you acquired more property and you could combine them to have more lot, then you could build more density because that would be appropriate. I think just simply trying to pack as much, and I look at it as, if you were to do this and then the next lot and the next lot and the next lot, there's an absurdity to what that would look like on repeat. If every lot in this as an individual came back to say, you know, they want the same variance, I just don't think it's a reasonable approach to development. That, you know, if you want to build the density, I think you need the property to do it. And I'll say, you know, at least for the variances that I've seen in my tenure, you know, a lot of them have been yours, and you've based them on some existing condition of, you know, a foundation or, you know, something that went here, this is a totally different, I mean, it doesn't match anything about or try to utilize the existing at all.
Yeah,
this is an entirely new development.
I think the root cause of that is the zoning code is just defective when it comes to RN5 and Fort Sanders, that everything's an existing 50-foot lot. That's what it is. And then, but there's multifamily all throughout it. So it's very inconsistent in what is there and what's developed and what you're able to do with the existing zoning code now. And then you have the complications of the historic and other things as well. So all that kind of plays in that it's really the zoning.
But in that vein, you can look to some of the multifamily, true multifamily, not just multiple bedrooms there for a multifamily, but the multifamily apartments that are around the perimeter, and they are multiple lots that got combined to create a master lot to be able to do a true apartment building.
There are a few, there's vastly more that are in the same 50-foot lots, 60-foot lots as well, multiple units. There are a few on the perimeters that are bigger where you can combine. Here, it's impossible to get more land. You have the street on the other side, and the other owners are long-term owners that they'll never sell in my lifetime. So it's impossible to do that.
But that doesn't make it right to grant a variance, because I mean that's just not, to me, that's not within the purview of your neighbors won't sell. Therefore, you should be allowed to create something larger than what would be allowed by dimensional standards. So, and it's not, you know, us saying no today to this doesn't prevent you from reasonable development.
What I think is really strange about this case is it is the RN5 issue. Because what I don't understand, I guess I feel like there's conflicting messaging in the, like, if you read the description of RN5, you know, it's like medium density is what's intended for RN5. All these lots, very many, I don't know, the majority of them, we don't have it here today, but in a previous application, it showed more context. Just seemed like, you know, this was a decision by council to adopt the map this way. I guess with all of that context, it seemed to me like the intent is for something greater than a duplex. But the fact that council overturned 4 units, you know, when it comes to like what's the intent, there is a contradiction between RN5. I mean, I think
RN5 was overlaid on a single family block, which was the first contradiction.
But I don't think you can interpret the zoning code to really be per parcel applied. The zoning code is intending for a direction to occur, which totally makes sense for this area and other development that's happening around it. But what it requires is what Amy is saying. It's the acquisition of other property in order to bring to fruition the maximal allowable that RN5 does. That doesn't mean that you are saying that on a parcel this size that mm-hmm. RN5 should be what happens. Mm-hmm. That's why the other aspects of the zoning code exist in the building code, because of the size of the lot itself. So it keeps the scale relevant.
But the reason that I find that a challenging explanation is that many or most, I don't know, without seeing the map, of these lots are already developed. So the only way to build more is to tear down.
Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what's being encouraged, is to tear down.
Well, but that seems contrary to the stated intent, I think, when RECODE was adopted.
And sure, agreement. Absolutely. So, I totally agree with that. But that is what is encouraged there.
I agree. I guess that, to me, the whole issue is the intent. And I think if the intent is for middle density, then the lot size does present a hardship. But, I mean, strictly speaking,
it's a limitation by virtue of the rest of the code.
And they wouldn't have outlined different dimensional standards for different typologies.
Correct.
So a duplex is allowable, but 3 units is not. I mean, they were intentional in setting, in order to do more than a duplex, you need more land.
Yeah. Right. And to the historicity mm-hmm. part of that, this is not in the NC1, which is in this neighborhood and does do that in terms of preserving older structures. Who chose those boundary lines? I'm not certain of, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying that does exist over there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree. I think in pretty much every other case, I agree. I guess it's the conflict to me is in the incentive to consolidate and tear down existing historic structures that strikes me as, you know, causing a problem for that line of reasoning, but You know, putting it all out there as like a genuine struggle, as a genuine.
And I don't disagree with you at all. I don't like that that is ultimately what's being encouraged, but unfortunately it is the way it was written.
Right.
Whether they fully saw that coming or not. I think you could point to opportunity zones and a lot of other things that have the same.
Yeah. Well, I do have a question. So on the survey, it says that the lot width is 49.99 feet.
It's technically less than 50 feet.
Well, but the ask is from 60 to 50 feet.
Which wouldn't get you there anyway.
So is this written wrong?
The request is...
it's the minimum decrease in the minimum lot width from 60 to 50. So does that need to be rewritten?
If I could, the Knox County Property Assessor's Office and KGIS all reflect that the lot is 50 feet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Did that answer your question?
I guess it's
the request is from,
it's on the record as being 50, but it's
from 60 down to 50. And I think we're just saying 50 is what's reflected in both KGIS and the Knox County Property Assessor's Office.
Okay.
So it would not need to be changed to the 49.9.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay making a motion if everyone's ready for that. If there's more discussion, I don't want to squelch that though. Okay, I'll make a motion to deny 10H23VA item 2.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? No. All right, so the motion passes and the request was denied. All right, the last item on the agenda is other business pertaining to the filling the vacancy in our board and voting on the new chair and vice chair. So board members approved for board members last month approved nominations of me, Christina Bowler, for chair, and Amy Sherrill for vice chair. Are there any changes to that
nomination? Do we need a re-motion to, that was just for one meeting, or is that for?
That was for the nominations.
Okay.
So now we're hopefully taking a vote to actually appoint.
Okay, I'll make a motion to appoint Christina Bowler and Amy Sherrill as chair and vice chair, respectively.
100% second. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. And the next meeting will be held November 21st. And we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Christina.